Blog Talk Radio.
Absolute power corrupts absolutely.
So what you know about sacrifice? When the lights go out, the price you pay when you're digging down. Skin in your teeth and a pain in your back. What you know about hope? What you know about that? Ride it off as criminal. A place to cast a stone. All in all, we carry on when one is not enough. We are the ones who are born to rise.
Everyone, and welcome once again to a bright Sunday morning on the East Coast. It's 10 a.m., and if you're on the air with me, I am JT, a.k.a. The Master, and this is The Master Plan. And we're going to talk about guys that are born to rise. They got to rise up this week. It's a big week for guys that are looking to take their game to the next level. Yes, people, it's the NFL Combine. We talk about the NFL 365, 24 hours a day if we could, because that's what I like to do. This week, the NFL Combine starts. All 32 representatives from the teams that are in the NFL are going to welcome 330 invitees to Indiana to do their thing and show what they can do in the skills drills for whatever position they wish to aspire to take their talents to the next level in the NFL. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. I say that again. 347-637-3220 is the place to be if you want to talk to me, JT, and that would be the master, quite naturally. Now, I apologize. Now, I said last week on this show that we would have a show on the 23rd of February, coming back from a two-week hiatus. Well, unfortunately, on the 23rd, I had a 9.5-hour blackout where I lived. And I had no power. Sitting in the dark with a battery-driven lantern as the only light for 9 hours once daylight left the area, the earth, I should say. So this Thursday, the FSP cruise show will definitely be back, barring another blackout. 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Jeff and I will be holding it down, and anybody else that wants to join in the conversation, we will definitely be there. And if you didn't listen to us on Thursday because of what I just described to you, you get an added treat today, because we carried the FSP crew show from Thursday to the last Sunday in February. Believe it or not, we're going into March come this Wednesday. And it, even though the show is named The Master Plan, I'll say it's The Master Plan / the FSP crew show, because besides myself, I have my esteemed co-host, the man with the plan, my fellow Jersey guy. They call him Jay. I should say Double J, Jeff the Joker. What's up, my man?
Hey, Jerry, how you doing? Oh, I'm on the road now, so if I drop out without saying goodbye, that means we got disconnected or something. Boy, you just brought back some blackout memories. Of course, not that long ago.
Yep.
You know, after Hurricane Sandy, I can't complain about the blackout situation where I live, but at my job, it was horrible. And at the time, I was night manager at a group home. And, you know, of course, they didn't have – they had, like, one flashlight at the house because the manager was an imbecile. So I used to bring my own – for and it felt like forever. It was a few days. I'd bring my own flashlight to work and take it back home with me. Not to be selfish, but, hey, why – you know, let other people, you know, provide for themselves. You know, I'm not, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes you got to look out for number one.
Right.
And believe me, you needed the flashlight, you know, late at night, you know, get by without it during the day in the early evening. And I remember, when was it? It was, I don't know, it was in the mid, it was a couple of years after 9/11, there was a big blackout. And of course, at first people was concerned it might be terrorism, and supposedly terrorists, they don't go for blackouts. They want something with blood, unfortunately. But that's unfortunately that's frequently a concern when anything happens in the New York area. And it was during the summer. I don't remember. I think it was a Friday night, and boom, we had a decent chunk of a blackout. I mean, a lot of the tri-state area was, I think, at least a few hours. And you know, it's like, What do you do? I mean, it happened. Yep. I was getting ready to leave work, going home. The traffic lights were out. It was nuts. And then, you know, I thought to myself, let me take a shower before it gets dark. You know, because even though I usually shower in the morning, but I figured, hey, you don't know how long this thing's going to last. And then out of boredom or whatever, I walked to the liquor store. And there must have been a line around the block, because to see the liquor store owner, I assume he had a backup generator, because everybody in the neighborhood is out, and you know, and for most of the area, but he was still going, and it, you know, a lot of people got backup generators after Sandy, but this guy must have had one, and believe me, it paid off for him that night. But you know, this this combine thing. It's so funny. I mean, I guess it's, you know, the draft went from, you know, a small closed door event that people barely paid attention to till now. It's huge. And the combine kind of went in the same direction. It's funny. I mean, you know, in the early days, they didn't even have a combine. I mean, I think the combine, you know, of course, guys need good game film and, you know, but a lot of it is interviews and just showing that you're mature and prepared, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, it's just what a big business it's become. I wish they'd invite more guys, but I guess, you know, since only, you know, what, 300-something guys get drafted, they don't. I guess they don't want to open it up too much. But maybe they should expand the training camp roster so at least more guys will get a chance to have NFL teams see them in pads and, you know, going at it in practice, you know, and then they, you know, because there's no developmental league. You know, the combine is a big business because the most of these agents, they're part of groups. These are big companies, and they know how to prepare players for the draft because they know that's going to make you more money. So, you know, when these guys, when they finish their college season, you know, they hook up with the agent and they set them up with guys to help them whatever needs to be helped so that they'll show well at the combine, the Underwear Olympics.
Yep. And the combine, they start arriving day one, which is the, which would be the 28th. The players travel to the Indianapolis, register. Hospital pre-exam and x-rays, overflow testing, orientation and interviews. And then medical measurements, medical examinations, and overflow testing interviews start on March 1st. March 2nd is when they get psychological testing, NFLPA. They have a meeting with the NFLPA punters. Place kickers, I should say, and special teams workout, media, and bench press interviews, and all that take place on Thursday, which is the 2nd. Friday is on-field workout, timing stations, skill drills, and quite naturally. And the first day of those teams are, I mean, the groups are place kickers, special teams, offensive linemen, on March 1st, another group arrives, which would be quarterbacks and wide receivers and tight ends. And then on the workouts and medical exams and all that testing takes place for that group. On day 3, which would be the 2nd, another group arrives. So all these groups don't arrive at the same time. They arrive different days. The day 3 would be the defensive linemen and linebackers. And their thing is from the 2nd to the 5th. And then on the 4th, which day 4, which is the 3rd on Friday, the DBs arrive. They go through their pre-registration, hospital, blah, 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 and medical examinations, their testing, their interviews, and all that on Saturday and Sunday. And then Monday, quite naturally, if you see it, every Monday is the DBs. Now, everyone always thinks that the DBs are the ones that are going to, in quotation marks, have the best chance along with some wide receivers and running backs to Chris Johnson's 40 record. And it always highlighted, I don't know why, it's just a combine. They always have to end it with the DBs. Now, supposedly there may be a change in the scouting combine exclusion rule that could be coming. I'm going to read this article from Mike Florio, which was dated February 25th, which was yesterday. Maybe Baker Mayfield will be going to Indianapolis next year after all. As the 2017 NFL combine approaches, criticism is intensifying regarding the rule that keeps incoming draft picks with certain types of past off-field misconduct away from all league-sponsored events. The teams will evaluate the players regardless of whether they are invited to Indianapolis. They prefer that the players be available in one place at the same time. Now, there's going to be independent workouts regardless, because not all players that may be drafted or possible free agent pickups are going to be at the NFL combine. Even though it's 330 players, there's a lot more that's out there that have a possibility, a chance of getting into and signing on to an NFL team and making a name for themselves. While it's unclear how the internal opposition to the rule will manifest itself, the rule could be modified or flat out dumped. The competition committee could be addressing the issue later this year with the anticipation of some sort of a change coming up by 2018. As to the current rule, a league source who objects to the rule has raised an interesting question. How many league employees would be banned from working the scouting combine under the same standard that has resulted in players being ejected from it? How many media members likewise would be barred? Potential hypocrisies aside, the team wants to be able to evaluate all players deemed talented enough to participate in the scouting combine. Keeping them away due to past misconduct won't change that. If anything, it provides a solid chunk of evidence that could be used if a player with a criminal record who eventually goes undrafted alleges collusion. What's your thoughts, Jeff?
You know, I assume Roger Goodell was behind this because it sounds like a Goodell thing. This guy just doesn't get it. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know what? It's a guy, and frequently it's allegations. It's not necessarily convictions. Mm-hmm. If a guy has an incident or something, you know what? Let him meet with the teams. Let them speak with him. He could explain himself. And this is part of the combine, I thought, because there have been guys who had incidents, and teams want to know, you know, what do they have to say about it? And but, you know, this is just classic Goodell lack of due process. I mean, I don't like the idea of excluding a guy from something that important, you know, just based on, what could often is a minor incident. I mean, you know what? Hey, let the teams judge for themselves, you know? I don't get it. I don't like it. But I got to get going.
Okay.
I I'm not a big baseball fan, but they finally, to speed up the pace of the game, they're going to, get rid of the intentional walk. Now they could just, the manager will signal. So, you know, that happens, what, once every other game? Give me a break.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you want to speed up the game, get serious. You know, put a clock for the pitcher. You know, don't let the batter step out of the box too much. Of course, the players object to this, but you know what? The players have too much power. You know, the lunatics are running the asylum, and they're ridiculous. But a clock, it wouldn't change the fabric of the game. It's still three strikes, you're out, nine innings. But, you know, none of these guys with OCD on the mound, because I'm tired of that nonsense. Well, I got to go. I'll catch you later, Chief. Bye-bye.
Take care. Catch you Thursday, Jeff. All right, that was my man Jeff. He made a brief appearance, which is fine. We definitely will be together on 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on a Thursday night, which is the FSP Cruise Show. Tune in. Jeff and I are always opinionated. Sometimes we clash on our opinions, which is fine. And we agree to disagree. That's no problem. I got a lot of respect for Jeff, and hopefully likewise toward me, Jeff has. And we do have a good conversation, Ebony and Ivory, and we have different walks of life, come from a different mother, but Jeff is from a brother from a different mother to me, so it is what it is. Anyway, like I said, the combine starts, they start filing in February 28th, and it ends March 6th. Believe it or not, people, this is the last Sunday in February. Wow. We're going. This year is flying. Hopefully, the next 4 years flies by. Unfortunately. Okay. Anyway. I talked about the, and I didn't give my opinion. Now, quite naturally, if you're a murder suspect, or if you're something that has to do with a felony, public opinion. I think this is, I'm trying to think why they would do this. Talking about the letting players with certain past histories participate rather than banning them, like Joe Mixon, I'm trying to think of the guy's name. We talked about it before. A running back, Kamara, those two guys off the top of my head. I think there's a linebacker that is being banned also because of off the field discretions. Those guys probably next year, if they change this rule, will probably be those type of guys will probably be invited. Oklahoma's quarterback recently got arrested for public intoxication, disorderly conduct, and resisting arrest. For those who don't know, just Google Oklahoma quarterback, and you'll see what I'm talking about. Now, he came back this year, so I imagine that next year he's going to try to – I don't know if he's going to be – depends on the year, but he has been a part of the Heisman talk. So I imagine that he'll be invited next year to the combine if he declares that he's going to go pro. And then someone like him, if he gets convicted of something like that, even if he doesn't, I mean, it's a matter of if you put a stain on your record. Or on your resume, even though it may still be going through the court system or trial process or whatever until there's some type of resolution, you are going to be excluded as we speak now from coming to the end of at NFL Combine, even if you are someone that definitely would be drafted in the NFL. Now, I got to believe that, and I'm almost guaranteed that the guys that we're talking about, the ones this year, Kamara, the running back, and the other running back, Joe Mixon out of Oklahoma, are going to get drafted. Now, it'll hurt their draft status and not being able to come to the combine. But like I said, these teams, if they feel these guys are draft-worthy or worth looking at, will hold private workouts, and quite naturally, they still have a pro day. Now, a lot of PR goes into whether these guys are ever going to get drafted or not. Joe Mixon got it that he assaulted a woman. It's on tape. You could it's live and in color. It's not like it's a hearsay. I should compare it to a Ray Rice type of thing, but it's comparable. It's not the exact same thing, but it's comparable. Let me put it that way. It's on tape. You can see it, like I said, live and in color. And maybe a poor choice of words, but out of sight, out of mind, you don't have that visualization of actually seeing it. You hear about it. This is what happened. This is how it happened. This is why it happened. But then a year later, it comes back, just like it came back to bite Ray Rice. Now, if it hadn't been and I'm not trying to justify, but I'm just laying it out here. If it hadn't been a videotape of Ray Rice committing that act, it's a great possibility that Ray Rice would be in the league still as we speak. Still as we speak. I got to believe that. I can't see any two ways around that. He still would be in the league. But because that tape came out, he's been like a pariah. He's been like a pariah. And I can see it on both sides. Why he would be a pariah because of actually the act and what he did. But many others have had second chances to make things right. And one indiscretion, as heinous as most people would see it to be, in my opinion, and in just my opinion, should not have excluded him, because I think his time has passed now from being a member of the NFL. Because Rice has done a lot of good for a lot of people for quite a while before that came up. Never had a stain on his record, college and up until that point, professional, until that point. Like I said, can't excuse it. I'm not excusing it, not making any kind of excuses for it at all. But I think he should have gotten another chance. He was a good dude. Extenuating circumstances put him in a situation, put both of them in a situation to see things escalate to the point where what happened. It is what it is. We got 5 minutes left in this show because I was going to make it a brief show because we're going to be talking about a lot about the combine next week. Because like I said, on the Sunday of next week, defensive linemen and linebackers will be performing their wares. On Saturday, on the FSP show, the wide receivers and quarterbacks and tight ends will be showing what they can do. On Friday, offensive linemen and the running backs will be showing what they can do. So over the weekend, Saturday and Sunday, we'll be talking about the skill positions, the ones that make fantasy what it is, want to make the NFL, the big splash players what it is, quarterbacks, wide receivers, tight ends, running backs. We'll be talking about the running backs on Saturday. We'll be talking about the running backs, quarterbacks, and wide receivers on Saturday, I should say, and tight ends. And I'm going to be wrapping those things up on Sunday, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, because by then, the master plan comes back on the all those players that are going to be fantasy relevant, that are going to be the guys that are going to get the big headlines for the most part, quarterbacks, wide receivers, running backs, maybe some tight ends, are going to have all their evaluations wrapped up. And I give you my assessment of what I've seen, what I like, what I don't like, what I think other players that are not at the combine can rise up and surprise. I always have a sleeper or two in running backs. Well, I'm trying to expand that. I think I have one, at least one. Hopefully he does what he needs to do on the in the NFL combine to reaffirm what I'm thinking. But I always, for the last several years, I've always given you a sleeper running back. I think 2015 was a down year for me. But every year before that and last year, I've given you a running back, whether it's coming into the league or whether he's got 1 or 2 years into the league. I give you a sleeper running back, and he's not disappointed. Arian Foster, Jamal Charles, Le'Veon Bell, Melvin Gordon. Those are the guys that I've given you before they exploded onto the scene. Hopefully, I can give you at least one more, either coming out of the combine or coming from the league in his second, third, or fourth year. I pride myself on bringing that to you, and now I'm trying to expand it to at least one wide receiver that I like. So tune in next week, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, where we're talking more about the NFL Combine because the results will be in. It's time for these players to rise up. This is probably starting off one of the biggest days of their career. Some of them are nondescript right now, can make a name for themselves, and they're thinking about that. Some high-profile players are going to be exposed. Are you for real or not? It's time to rise. If you think you were born to rise, it's time for that. So without any kind of reservations, I'll say to you, tune in next week, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. I am JT, a.k.a. The Master, and we will be out of here. Till next week. See ya.